Okay, a lot of exciting stuff going on in Yeshiva, bro.
Shem.
So I have about 3 minutes left, so here you go. I have a theory in general, as it comes throughout all the holidays, throughout Yeshiva, Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, for those who are considering Shana Gimel, that as well, that all the holidays throughout the year, throughout our Yeshiva experience, fall out at a perfect time to teach us a valuable lesson. One time I'd love to go through all of them with you, but obviously I want to focus on Purim. The message that we're supposed to, or one of many messages that I believe we're supposed to take on Purim, is a beautiful lesson and a great way to check where you're holding Shana Aleph, Shana Bet. So we're all here learning Megillah Be'in, I'm sure, at this point. So I want to just chazer something you all know. What got the Jews? I'm a very visual learner. I like to envision things as I'm trying to understand them. So this is what happens. Ahasuerus, as we all know, is the king of 120 provinces, huge, maybe it's the whole world even. He's running the show, and Haman comes and he wants to destroy one people, one nation amongst his 127 countries. And usually people of their own kingdom, they want to protect the people of their nation. So there must be a logic or reason why Ahasuerus says, I'm okay, let them be destroyed. So the Gemara Megillah explains to us what this is. The Gemara Megillah comes and says, this was Haman's logic. Listen for a little word. In the morning, here's a little Ian Shear for you. Listen up. What happens is as follows. Haman says there's a nation out there that has different rules than us. Different rules than us. And I'm going to give you an example. A halacha l'maisa example, says Haman. He says if a fly falls into the cup of a Jewish person, they pour out, this is the Gemara, they pour out the fly and a little bit of wine, whatever, to get the fly out. And they drink the rest of the wine. However, if you, the king, the most powerful man in the world, a non-Jew, touches that same cup, they pour out the whole cup of wine that can't drink it. And envision, this wasn't a person who was royal by nature. How did he become the leader? By his riches, by how successful, how powerful he was. You know how offensive that is? The Jews would rather have a fly in their cup than Ahasuerus, the king of all the kings at that time, touch their cup. It's good logic. Haman uses good logic. And then Ahasuerus is like, you know what? You've convinced me. I'm good. Kill them. Destroy all the Jewish people. That's what the Gemara says. And then we go through our Purim story. We all know the basics of the story. And comes to the seventh parak, which I had the schluss to learn with this morning in my shiur. Comes to the seventh parak. And now Esther's sitting at the meal. Ahasuerus, Haman, and Esther. And she convinces Ahasuerus out of it. Says, you know what? He convinces Ahasuerus to no longer destroy and kill the Jewish people. What's her logic? Haman had great logic to destroy them. What was Esther's rebuttal? What did Esther come back to fight Ahasuerus with? So listen to this. The pasuk says, Perek Zayin, pasuk Gimel V'Tan, Esther Amalka. She says, if you find favor in my eyes, please save me, V'Ami, and my nation. Please save me and my nation. Now, just because these were the people of Esther is not going to be enough. We saw this is Ahasuerus. He's willing to kill his own wife. Forget killing. He's not saying he's not trying to kill Esther, but her nation, he doesn't care. So what was her rebuttal? She never refutes anywhere. She never refutes the logic of Haman. Doesn't say, oh, you misunderstood. Really, this was like a really disgusting king and it was a beautiful... Nothing. You're right. Why should you save them? Because they're Ami. They're my nation. So what's her rebuttal back? So I think you could say this is the idea. The idea is when she said it's my nation, she's not fighting the logic. What Haman said was actually 100% correct. We do have halachos when it comes to non-Jew touching our wine. We have to spill it all out. You're saying those halachos do not make us think we're better than you, different than you. It refines us as a people. The Torah we learn, the halachos as a whole, is supposed to make us a people who are refined. Ami, my nation. You know, I'm Esther, the one you love. You love my midos, my character, probably other things about her also. You love who I am. That's what these different laws do. They're supposed to refine us as a people. Don't be offended by it. Rather, look at the beauty of it. And that's what Esther is saying to Ahasuerus. I'm not going to refute it. It's true. We're different. But that doesn't make us think we're better or strange. It makes us who we are. That's what the Jewish people are. They can take certain halachos, Torah, and make them who are different type of people. And this message was not just for Haman and Ahasuerus to understand, but rather is for all of us. How do we get into this problem in the first place? So the Gemara explains again, what was our punishment? Why were we being punished? Because we went to the suit of Ahasuerus.
We said, we could party also. We're Jewish. Of course we're Jewish. We're different, but we could be the same. I sit and I steig and I learn and I do all these amazing things. I know all the halachos of Purim. But I can also go to the party of Achashverosh, do what they do. And Esther needs to say, Ami, my nation is different. When these halachos are actually supposed to change us as people. And the Midrash takes it further. The Midrash says, why were they destroyed? Not just because they went to the king, the party of the king, but because they were mechallel Shabbos. Shabbos is the ultimate sign of what separates us from a non-Jew. It's the ultimate sign that separates us from a non-Jew. Every single person in the world has 7 days in a week. But we have six plus Shabbos. Shabbos is what separates us. So the Jewish people at the time, they had a big misconception. They made a big mistake. They thought that they could be Jewish. They thought that they could learn Torah. And they can learn halachos and keep mitzvos. But that doesn't have to change them as people. And what is Esther? Esther's teaching Achashverosh. Esther's teaching us, teaching the Jewish people at the time. Now when it says, Ami, my nation, that's the biggest rebuttal back to Haman. It says that these things are actually changed us as people. When we have different laws, different mitzvos, different halachos, that's supposed to change and reflect who we are as a group of people. This idea, I think is beautiful for Shana Aleph and Shana Bet guy to understand. You guys, there's not a person in this room who is not growing in yeshiva. Some people waited too longer, they like this, they like that, but everyone here is steiger. Now the benchmark, in my humble opinion, to see if how you're doing, is not just, of course, Tam Torah Kenek Kum, it starts with Torah, there's no doubt about it. But to see how that Torah is actually changing us as people. Are we still people who think on Purim, we could drink and we could party and we could do, and then I'll go back to beautiful morning Seder on Sunday morning, on Monday morning. I'm not even drunk yet. On Monday morning. Or when we're going to do this action, when we're going to have a simcha like we've never had ever, and Yeshiva Purim's amazing. Are we going to do it differently because I've learned Torah this year, because I've changed who I am as a person? You know, I love to see guys in Yeshiva in two places, my two favorite places to watch guys in Yeshiva. Number three would be the base midrash. Number one is on the basketball court. I love it. Not to watch their game, but to see how they act. Basketball is sports in general. It can be frustrating. It can be exciting. It can be back and forth, physical. Things go your way. Things don't go your way. You can see the guy just died for 4 hours morning seder. He understood a Gemara, a Riffa, a Rashba, whatever it is. Did that penetrate him at all? Did that go into him? Is he a different person now? You can see it on the basketball. That's one place I love to watch guys. The second place, and it's actually I like this more, I love to watch guys online for lunch. Love it. The guy's running, maybe he's even running back to the base for another chavrusa. Does he wait his turn in lunch, in line to get lunch? Yes or no? I love watching. You get to see who's the Torah penetrating and changing. Judaism is not a sometimes thing. It's not a thing that we do in the base midrash and we go out to the world and we can be like everybody else. No rip on anybody else. Judaism is an always thing. Inside and outside of the base midrash. That's what Haman wasn't wrong in the halachos. He was wrong in his conclusion of the halachos. Of what the laws are supposed to actually do. They're supposed to refine us. Change us as people. Waxman gives a beautiful muscle. He explains that there's a guy, none of us have been out the whole year, but if you go to Ben Yehuda ever, you'll see that there's sometimes, unfortunately, Rahman al-Islam, you should never know from it, there's people sitting lying on the street. People, poor people, homeless people, and they have in front of them sometimes a cup, a bucket, a sign. They're collecting money. That's what they're collecting money. So he tells a story that one time, there was a guy who was collecting money. A guy walks past, he has a dollar in his pocket, and he says, the guy's sleepy, I'm just going to leave it in his bucket. And he sees in the guy's bucket, he already has a few dollars, a few changes. He's like, you know what? He takes his dollar back, and he goes to the local convenience store, and he buys this guy a lottery ticket. It's one in a billion. But maybe I could change this guy's life, for his kid's life, grandkid's life. So he goes, he buys the guy a lottery ticket. He places it in the cup. And the guy wakes up, he looks at what he has. He's got $1.57. He puts in his pocket a piece of paper. The guy probably thought, you know, someone put a little garbage. Puts in his pocket. And he always meets his friend at night to rummage through the garbage. So two homeless guys, takes all his money, puts in his pocket. Two homeless guys are now rummaging through the night garbage to find something. Him and his friend, they're in the same boat together. One of them has a winning $1 billion lottery ticket. And one of them is just the homeless guy. Which one of these two guys are richer? They're the same exact. They each have no money. Because even if you have the winning lottery ticket in your pocket, but you don't know it, you don't live like it, you're a poor man. We have the winning lottery ticket. You sit through Shir, Kodesh Baruch Hu, your Rebbe's giving you the winning lottery ticket. We have all that we need in life in order to change who we are as people. But if we don't actually go out and act like that, we rummage through the garbage like a homeless person. That's how we drink. And that's how we're mesameach. That's how we play ball. That's how we get lunch. Then we're just a homeless person. We haven't, nothing's changed us in this year, in Shana Av, Shana Bet. In 10 years from right now, when you don't have the luxury of sitting through a whole day of yeshiva, are you going to be the same person you were before? Or did this change you as people, as what it's supposed to be doing to all of us? Achashverosh had to be taught. Achashverosh had to be taught. And we see at the end of the Megillah, the Jewish people are totally different people. We're no longer like the people of Shushan. We're going to fast. We're going to dress in sackcloth. We realize that we're different. And only when we respected ourselves and changed who we were as people, now Achashverosh says, I get it. I'm me, my nation, Esther's claiming to him, now I don't want to punish you anymore. Now you're a people who could be totally, totally different. We just read this past Shabbos, Parsha Zachar, where it says that the Amalek tried to asher karcha b'derech, they happened upon us on the way, they tried to make us cold, extinguish our fire, b'derech, on the way. They didn't try to in the Beis Midrash. They would never survive in the Beis Midrash. And someone, Amalek, comes and says, stop learning. I'm seeing the Beis Midrash, nothing could stop me. And they knew that. But they knew the way they could get the Jews is b'derech, when they're on the way, when they're outside the Beis Midrash. If they can cool them off then, and they don't allow what happened in the Beis Midrash, all the Talmud Torah, asher karcha b'derech, they're going to come and cool us off on the way, that's how they can get us. There's a boy who went to yeshiva, happens not to be our yeshiva, but a yeshiva that is very on par, a great yeshiva. They sit in the shtayg, three siddurim a day. He told me the following story. Makes me want to cry. He's in college, and he says, you know, he's learning a little bit, he's going to school a little bit, he's doing every single thing that he needs to do to grow in his daily life. And one thing leads to another, and he meets this girl. She's studying with this girl in his class. Correct, it was not YU. He's studying with this girl in his class, and he starts to date her. Go on for a month, 2 months, 3 months, and she drops a huge bomb on him. It's coming to Thanksgiving break. Come with me back to where I live. Meet my parents for Thanksgiving. And the guy's like, whoa. This is getting way more serious than I thought. This is what he's telling me. It's getting way more serious than I thought. I was having fun. I was hanging out. You're a great study partner. It's fantastic. That's what I enjoy hanging out with you. And he says, I can't go back to meet your parents. Can't go back to meet your parents. He's like, why not? I thought things were going great. He's like, things are going great. But you're not Jewish. I'm Jewish. She's like, what do you want? Me to also get a chai necklace? I'll get a chai necklace. That's fine. Well, what's the difference between me and you? We study together. We go to the park together. We do everything together. There's no difference between me and you. And he said that's when it hit him. He sat through yeshiva. He went through everything. And he would never marry a non-Jew. But she couldn't chat why he can't marry her, why he can't be with her. Because I'm Jewish. But you're not acting in a Jewish way at all. So of course, chas shalom, not taking away from the Torah that you learned, or the fact that you had a bris milah when you were 8 days old. But what makes this guy Jewish? He doesn't act like it. He doesn't do anything. You should know the guy's mamish died now. There's a wake-up call in his life. There's a wake-up call in this guy's life. He said, nothing about me acted like I'm Jewish. That was a mistake of the Jews in the beginning of the Megillah. And that's why when Haman came and said, they're different, there was no reason for them to be different. But now at the end of the Megillah, when Esther says, I'm me, my nation, you look at the Jews, they're different people. The Torah, the laws that make them different, is what makes them a holy, refined group of people. This idea, I believe, is not only about not doing bad, but also doing good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought, let's just use this as the example because it's about to be perma alcohol into the world. There's a time and place to drink Kiddush. Just say Kiddush. And maybe some people drink the perm Suda. And there's a time and place for it. But even when we're doing something, you also could do it differently. It's not just avoiding. So I don't watch this anymore and I don't go here anymore. That's usually when you hear people say that I've changed in Shana Aleph. I no longer fill in the blank. Watch this, do this, go there. But it's not just about not doing something. It's also about doing something in a proper way. I never forget, I had a basketball coach who would make you run suicides for every missed free throws you had in that game as a team. Not you as an individual, what, the whole team. You miss a free throw, so you start practice. There's running during practice, but you would start practice with X amount of suicides. So one time, he only did this one time to us, but it was a valuable lesson, and I think he did it, so I can share it with you. Our team went 11 for 17 from the line. We could do better. We could do better than that. And that was 6 suicides we had to start practice. So we get to the line. We all know the drill already. We get to the line, we start practice. He blows the whistle. He says, 8 suicides. So, coach, that's 6 suicides. He says, no, you were 11 for 17. So I say, yeah, that's 6. He says, but 2 of them, for those who hop basketball a little bit, 2 of them were 1-and-1s. And you never got the opportunity to shoot the back end of the 1-and-1. Never got the opportunity to do that. That's a missed opportunity. 8 suicides. He rocked us. 8 suicides. That's what it is. Growing as a Yid is not just about avoiding tough, complicated situations. It's also about saying, I'm going to not miss out on the opportunity. I'm going to drink like a Yid. I'm going to go out to the world and I'm going to get a job and I'm going to go to college. I'm going to do these things. It's not about sitting in your bed and having nothing to do all day. We're supposed to live and enjoy the world. But we're supposed to do it like a Yid does it. There's guidelines. There's halachos. There's many svarim of Dessler. It's a beautiful idea that basically everything in the world is just time and place, but there's nothing that's bad. Everything can be used for good. So we need to make sure that we are doing the proper thing. This, I believe, is so relevant to us, as I said, as a guy to be a benchmark, to check himself in the mirror, to be honest with himself for a few minutes. Maybe Erev Purim is the time to do it, and then reflect again post-Purim. Am I changing throughout this year? Am I becoming the person I want to become? When I go back home, and now 8 p.m. hits, this year maybe a lot of us are going to have the schus to stay in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, but Pesach's a great benchmark in general, but you still want to have the normal Seder. 8 p.m. hits, and am I learning, opening up a Sefer? And it's more than that. When I go home and play ball with my friends, or they're going to this place, am I doing it? Am I dressing the way I should be dressing? Am I talking? Am I watching what I should be? Am I changing as a person? Listen to this unbelievable true story. Listen to this. There's a guy who's sitting and learning Kollel, as it happens to some people. He says he's reached the kids. He's reached the time. He's been blessed with kids. He needs to support his family. So he says he looks at different businesses, and he hears that if you sell watches half a day at the peak hours in the mall, he's going to open one of those kiosks in the mall. He's going to sell watches. He can learn half a day in Kollel and make a parnasa. He could support his family and also be able to sit and learn. So the guy goes and he starts saying, watches working beautifully. But as time goes on, his business cools down. Things come out sometimes with a lot of excitement. Things start to cool down. And he needs to make a little more money. And he really doesn't want to give up his hours of learning, sitting in Kollel, a Seder, two Seders, whatever, Sederim, I'm not sure exactly what it was, a day. So he starts to think, and he says, you know what, I buy these watches off a supplier who buys them from a manufacturer. What if I cut out the supplier? If I get rid of the middleman, so let's say he was buying a watch for $10, selling it for $20, but that watch is really being sold for $2, but he has to buy it off the supplier. So what he does is he decides he's going to do a fantastic idea. He's going to go to the supplier, as he always does. He sits in the room, they give him his file, and he tells him which ones he wants to order. And he gives him his file, and he says, but before the guy comes in, I'm going to look who the manufacturer is. I'm going to get the guy's name, number, I'm going to write it down, tell the supplier I'm no longer interested. I'm going to call the manufacturer, get the watches for cheaper, make more money, and go on with my day. So he comes to the supplier, calls for a meeting like he always does. They hand him his file. He sits down as he's waiting for the sales rep to walk in. He's looking through his file. He's trying to find where do they order his watches from. And he finds that some place is a real watch manufacturer. It's called Geneva Watches. You can Google it if you like. But he's nervous someone's going to see him writing this down. So he writes it in Hebrew, Geneva, in Hebrew. He writes it down. He writes it, writes the number down. He puts it in his pocket. He sits in this meeting. He tells them, you guys have been fantastic. You're amazing. but I no longer need you. I no longer need you guys. He said, okay, if you change your mind, come back. He goes into the elevator on his way out, and he looks at his piece of paper, and what he wrote in Hebrew is Gimel Nun Beis Hei, Ganef, Geneva. It's supposed to be Geneva, but he wrote Geneva, because that's how you spell it in Hebrew. And he notices that he's stealing. He's not allowed to do this. He's stealing from the supplier to go sit and learn more Torah. Did that make any sense? Staring him back in the face was Geneva. You're stealing, not Geneva. And he realized my whole point of sitting and learning is convoluted. I'm supposed to sit and learn to get close to Hashem, but Hashem ever want me to steal in order to sit and learn more and more and more? All his hours in Kolo were not changing him. Again, of course you get a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but imagine if you could sit and learn Torah and it changes you as a person. And that's our goal as a whole. Two people could often look very similar on the outside. Two guys steiging, sitting and learning, but one is changing. We know we say Baruch Mordechai Arur Haman. Two guys couldn't be more different in reality, but they're both Gematria 502. They look the same. Two people could look the same. They both had long white beards and hats. Had a lot of people who respected them, but on the inside, they couldn't be more different if you tried. And that's what we are supposed to be making sure that we're doing. If you look through Tanakh, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Noah, we never hear about them learning Torah. We never hear about them learning Torah. We know they didn't have the Torah yet. We know that they learned Torah though. What do we know about Noah? That he's an honest zookeeper. And Avram, he allowed guests in, and Yaakov worked the fields 14 years, 20 years in Laban's house, honestly. Because what the Torah is trying to teach us is that it's not about the Torah. Of course they learned Torah, but it's what they did with that Torah. All their actions they did afterwards is what makes them our forefathers. Is what makes them the people we're supposed to be looking up to. It starts with learning, knowing how a Jew is supposed to act. And then it transforms into who we are. Just because you dress the part doesn't make you growing in the way you should. There was a time in history, I apologize, we'll end in one moment. There's a time in history of the Prohibition. The Prohibition was where you weren't allowed to have alcohol. You guys are lucky you didn't live then, I guess. They weren't allowed to have alcohol except for religious purposes. So there's people who are dressing as Jews, saying, I need it for Friday Night Kiddush, I need it for Purim Suda, I need it for Pesach. There's people who went as far as to change their name to Goldberg so they can get alcohol. They dress the part, they change their name, that doesn't make them a Yid. We have to make sure that as we go through our year, we're not just dressing the part and having the proper names, but we're making us who we are. And just to conclude, the Yalkut Shimoni explains that all the holidays after Mashiach comes, there's going to be no more holidays besides for Purim. And the Gemara in the Yerushalmi explains that there are going to be no more books of Tanakh besides the five books of the Torah and Megillas Esther. Esther, the holiday, as well as the Megillah, is going to be the only thing besides the Torah that remains once Mashiach comes. Why is that? Why Esther? It's the Rabbanon. It's all the way at the end of Tanakh. Why Esther of all things? Because I thought you could say it's because this is the idea. We're sitting in Mirtz Hashem one day with the Shechina all day when Mashiach comes. We're still going to be making sure that has to change us. No matter how much amazing Torah you have, no matter how much amazing inspiration and shirim that we get, Baruch Hashem, in our yeshiva, you always need to be checking yourself and making sure that's actually changed who I am as a person. So even when Mashiach comes, we still need Purim. We still need the message of Megillas Esther. We should be zocha this year to have a Purim that shows us how much we've grown and should repel us to grow the rest of our lives. Have a good day, boys.